Good afternoon. Today is Christmas. Big Stunner, 359th day of the year. Joining us this afternoon, Santa's sidekick, Matt Harvey from Arcata PD.
Hello.
No, well, I gotcha. Arcata CHP.
You got me.
Yeah, okay. It was pretty simple.
Merry Christmas.
And to you too, sir, and all the little ones. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about what the holiday season means. Obviously, we're in a maximum control, patrol, exposure, everybody's out.
Enforcement.
There you go. I knew eventually I'd get there. So we'll talk about what that means and also what it means during a prolonged period.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different than having a three-day weekend like Memorial Day or 4th of July and things like that. So we got stuff to do, stuff to talk about, and we'll start our stuff when we come back.
The Flame of Learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this Christmas with Matt Harvey. You don't realize how fortunate you are.
How
not,
so?
Not only are you here, but you're here on Christmas Day.
That's right. Well, I won't tell the listeners the truth, but...
That's all right.
Yeah.
Good.
Good to be here.
Yes, and you did give Santa a high five last night.
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. Cool. Our quote this afternoon comes from Coco Chanel.
Shoot, let's hear it.
I'm thinking, you know, along the lines of perfume and things
that.
It's about as close as I could get. Great loves too much. What? Wait a minute. Great loves too must be endured. There we go.
That's deep. Let me just let that sink in for a minute.
Okay. Let's see if I can find a Santa Claus quote. Yeah, ho, ho, ho. No, that's not going to work. Okay, here you go. A person who has no secrets is a liar.
Wow. I would agree with that one. Absolutely. Okay. Definitely.
That comes from Anne Roif, 1987.
So do you have any secrets?
Oh, probably zillions.
Yeah.
I just forget them. to that point now where I just kind of forget what I've forgotten.
There you go. Yeah, just move on.
Oh, boy. This time of the year with the extended coverage that you guys have got, what does that mean to the officers?
Well, we call it our maximum enforcement period. We have several holidays throughout the year that we put this out. And what a maximum enforcement period is it's kind of twofold. We establish a set period of time. Obviously, usually it's from like 6 p.m. one night through a few days and the weekend. In this case, it's going to end on Sunday night at midnight. And so we use it twofold, for statistical purposes, so we can look back over the years and say, 2014 versus prior years, how are we doing on DUI arrests, DUI collisions, fatalities as a result of things like seatbelt usage. So that's number one. And then number two, we're advising our officers that, hey, this is a time when people are out on the roadways, sometimes partying, drinking and driving. And, you know, we want to let the public know that we are out with every officer we can get out on the road. And we're going to do our best to keep people safe by aggressively seeking after DUI drivers and other unsafe conditions.
Have as many rigs out on the roads.
Yes.
As you can.
Exactly.
Why have the break? Why not run it through until Sunday of New Year's? Those 2 or 3 days, I would think.
That's a good question.
A lot of folks take or have that time off, or they're like the football games and things like that that continue through that time frame, and the social activities continue.
You know, probably from what Humboldt County residents will see, won't be much of a change in that period. We're still going to do the same thing, but I would say as far as separating them in two different maximum enforcement periods, mainly for the purpose of statistical data so that we can separate Christmas from the new year.
So more tracking for you guys.
Right.
A lessening or an increasing on our end of the thing.
Yeah, and just for, you know, on the public relations side, it's a way that we can specify it to a specific holiday, and then we can kind of make it new and fresh and put it out there over the airwaves.
You mean it gives you something to throw a press release together?
You got it. You got
so
it.
How do Brett and Adam and the various commanders throughout the state make some kind of allowance, or do they do something for the families? I mean, if you guys are out having to drive around during these types of times, I mean, you can't really make up Christmas like you can.
You can't,
Memorial Day. I mean, whether it's the 19th or the 26th, you have an extra day off. Great. Everybody has fun.
Yeah.
Christmas, Easter, there are certain days that you can't do that with.
Right.
Does the patrol, do the guys themselves have an opportunity to do something for the families?
Yeah, you know, when we go through the academy, we know that we're signing up for a job that's a 24/7, 365 job. And I think that's just part of the understanding, and it's part of the sacrifice and part of serving the community and the public. With that said, it's not like we get like a Christmas bonus or anything. depending on what's the priority is obviously the road and keeping people safe and things like that. Some officers might meet up with family during
so
the day.
You guys could sneak away for 3 or 4 hours, still have the radio there, but
I don't know about the time frame on that, but sometimes family members will come to the office and spend a little bit of time with the officer and things like that. But some of the officers who live right on their beat might swing by and say good morning and do some things like that with the family. It's important. I mean, we're officers, but we're also people, and we got to take care of our
regardless
families.
Regardless of how some of the media will portray that.
Right, but ultimately, we're going to respond as we always would.
It's 3:19.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey from the California Highway Patrol. Maximum enforcement, does that definition mean that you guys are out and if you would go blink, blink, wink, wink at 66 miles an hour yesterday, because today is maximum enforcement, you're going to get somebody going 1 mile over the speed limit? Or is it the enforcement end, or is it more cops out on the street?
It's both, but our concern is not so much that person doing 1 mile an hour over the speed limit. It's in the officer's professional opinion, what is being unsafe out there? What is the motorist doing that may infringe on other people's safety? If we went out and stopped every single vehicle that was going 1 or 2 miles an hour over the speed limit, we wouldn't be able to focus on those people that are excessively breaking the law, driving under the influence, driving reckless, things like that. So I don't know that wherever that threshold is for that day of deciding for an officer's determination whether they're going to make a speed stop would be any different from any other day. But what it means, I would say it's probably more on the side of seeking out impaired drivers and movements that would cause traffic collisions.
And just because there's more of you out there,
correct,
a higher capture rate, so to speak.
Correct. And a lot of it, too, is just being visible to the public. I think history shows that when law enforcement is out there, just the mere presence of an officer being on any particular part of the roadway, people tend to slow down and obey the laws.
And, well, that's how the game gets played, right?
Exactly. What you're looking to do. Right.
Do you guys get recommendations or are you recommended to, when you're doing your computer work in the rigs, to pull over to the side of the road?
That's
so that you're there rather than taking like an off street.
That's a strategy, definitely is, and you'll never know if we're out, writing a report or actually there paying attention to speeding vehicles, and that's part of the, the strategy.
Yeah.
But ultimately, there are times when we try to, sometimes we'll pull over in a visible location and the officer is writing a report. We got to be careful because we can't put ourselves, our units and our officers in an unsafe position, say on the shoulder.
Right, but a pull out or a turn out or the way stations that aren't being used.
Correct.
That kind of stuff.
It would seem
to make sense to do that.
Yeah, and there's two parts to that. One is going back to the just being a visible presence out there. And the second part of that is an officer's ability to quickly respond. So if he goes and tucks himself somewhere way back away from his beat and a crash comes out, it's going to take extended amount of time to get there. So we want to be in the location that we're enforcing.
As you look at some of the different strategies, I think is the word that you've used a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
instead of game. Okay, fine. Yeah. I get it.
You won't hear game coming from me. But.
Not unless we do a really creative edit with what was
right.
just said, huh? Have those strategies evolved over the last little bit? When you've been in long enough so that you can start to see some of those trends. Have those instructions changed?
Yeah, we primarily are guided by laws, but then also policy. Anybody you talk to, they're going to have their own definition of what they might call like a speed trap. our intent.
If you're not behind a billboard.
Right.
It's not really much of a trap. It's more of a somebody's there and you got surprised.
Our intent isn't to entrap people and try to get them to speed and then catch them so that we can pull them over and just hammer them with a ticket. It's truly to get people to slow down. And so we like to keep ourselves visible so that people have an opportunity to see us. And, but ultimately, if they get pulled over for a speeding ticket, they were speeding.
So. They deserved it. Why is there then an impression that new guys are more zealous than the seasoned veterans who aren't typically portrayed in that same light?
I'd say there's probably that wouldn't be the case in 100% of our officers, but there is probably some truth to that. A CHP officer's career spans, on average, probably 25 years. To keep the intensity of proactive enforcement day in and day out for a 25-year career can be wearing on officers. And if you can imagine the stuff that law enforcement has to deal with, and even if we don't deal with it directly, just for me reading some of the incidents on the newspaper, it still can cause anxiety, over the long term for officers because we know what we're exposing ourselves to. And when you span that over a 25-year career, it can be difficult sometimes to keep that high intensity of proactive enforcement for that long. And so that might be a little bit of what you see as you get new officers out of the academy who are ready to go out and be go-getters. And then that might, slow down just a little bit.
As experience.
Yes. Yeah.
Factors in. We'll be back with more from experienced CHP officer Matt Harvey.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Public Information Officer for the California Highway Patrol out of the swamp in Arcata, Matt Hardy. He escaped.
I did.
Matt, does Christmas obviously mean something special for police officers as well as it does for other folks? Do you have a chance to celebrate when you got duty that day?
Yeah. You know, every family is different in their own traditions and things like that. I've spent several Christmases working the road, and you just make it work out. You might celebrate Christmas the day before, the day after, in the evening before you go off to work, things like that. And
you can't, wearing the red hat with the fur is kind of frowned on.
Yeah.
You're on patrol. That's not one of those new policies that's come in the last little bit. No.
Okay. We're grateful for we are well taken care of, and we're grateful for the job that we do, and it's a pleasure for us to do it and to serve. And I think overall, we just kind of take on the idea that we are going to be working some Christmases and New Year's and Thanksgivings and things like that. It's a little bit of a sacrifice, but I am extremely appreciative for those officers that are out working today and other holidays, sacrificing family time to keep people safe. But we make it work out.
Do you guys ever get like a Christmas present? You pull somebody over and they go, here. Or somebody comes up to you. I know that would probably be a little freaky thing.
Yeah.
Here you go. Thanks.
What we probably see more often during this time of year is people coming by the office and bringing brownies and cookies and things like that.
Plump you up?
Yeah. Our policy is that we
it's not Hans and Franz.
Right.
Yeah, you're being – yeah, plump you up, yeah.
We don't take gratuities, and we don't want to give that impression that we are – if an officer, if you offer something to an officer and they kindly turn it down, it's not that we don't appreciate the gesture, but we have a policy in place that we don't want to give the portrayal that we take gratuities. So,
yeah, I could imagine, particularly with so many people having this willingness to take pictures and movies of everything.
Oh yeah,
that would be a little
it could be seen in the wrong light, and we got to be above reproach. And
out of context.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. What do you think, some of the stuff that's been going on the last couple of months, those I take out of context to bridge off of it. The cameras that you guys would have to be
body
wearing.
Body cameras.
Yeah. I would think if on the car it's there and it helps to substantiate what your reports are.
Right.
That it would have been already employed in a lot of departments already.
Yeah.
As just a risk reduction, if nothing else.
Yeah.
See, here's what the cop did. He did it right. She went through proper protocol. This particular person is just blowing smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it.
We have cameras affixed to every enforcement unit in California that's out there for the primary purpose of traffic enforcement, that will record every enforcement stop, every public contact. And the officer also has a microphone on his person to capture that. We do not employ body cameras. To my knowledge, there's nothing pending that we're even talking about it. It's always subject to change. Just the arguments that I've heard for and against it, you're right that it can capture things. Say, one example might be, a citizen alleges that an officer said something or came across in an unprofessional manner, things like that. And there's something to be said for that. Another argument against it is that it might be a violation of personal privacy in a way if the camera captures aspects of things that it's not technically a search, but there's a reasonable expectation of privacy upon the citizen that there wouldn't be a camera there. I've heard that argument. And, you know, the other part of the body camera thing is that it only captures half of the story. Because if you think about it, if it's on the officer's body, it only captures what's in front of the officer, but it doesn't capture the officer. So,
yeah. Or something going on behind you.
Right, exactly.
All of a sudden, yeah. Boom, you face plant.
Yeah. And so I don't necessarily have the full opinion on it one way or the other than to say that CHP is not using body cameras at this point.
Yeah, it would seem like it would be a safety thing also.
Yeah.
You know, for you guys also.
It is.
But it may be prohibitively expensive.
That's another aspect to it, and technology, and anytime you add another technology, that has to be maintained and kept up, and, you know, batteries replaced, and, you know, just on kind of a logistical side of it.
Oh, don't forget the learning curve.
Right. But with the cameras that we do have inside the cars that are on the dashboard, in the windshield, those can be and are submitted as evidence.
That's what I was wondering. Do you regularly, is that part of a report is to?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So if, say in a DUI arrest, we will disclose on the arrest report whether the recording was taken or not of it. And it is subject to evidence and it is booked as such in some cases.
So you guys have to edit that and turn it
in? Yeah, we would redact things that maybe are not relevant to the report, and really it's ultimately up to the judge as to what he is going to allow to be disclosed. But
so is the that's tapped into a computer then that's on board?
We burn them onto a CD or a DVD, I should say, and then we retain them in the office for a certain amount of time, and then they're purged.
Okay, so records management takes on a whole different level, doesn't
it? It definitely adds some work for the evidence officer. And, I know some agencies are utilizing a hard drive version of it where you just drive in the back office and it goes over Wi-Fi and just automatically goes onto a hard drive or a server.
Oh, that's kind of slick, isn't it?
Yeah, we don't have that. This technology we have in place now, I believe, was originally implemented around 2008, 2009. And so it's probably a few years old.
So if you slipped one of those on Santa's sleigh on the undercarriage, you'd really be able to keep track.
Oh, absolutely. That's a good thought. Maybe we should do that for next year.
Yeah. Yeah, try to sneak up and pull that one off. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Matt Harvey.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. Merry Christmas, everybody. This afternoon, we've got Matt Harvey co-piloting, or actually, you're piloting.
I'm piloting today. Yes. I'm piloting today.
Something with the gun kind of allows a certain degree of
it does. Authority?
Priority, yes, yeah. New year, oftentimes, Matt, we sit around and we'll talk about the new rules that are in place and blah, 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 that the state's whipping up on everybody. Are there any significant rule changes?
Nothing that we have been made aware of at this point. And I'm sure that there are because there always are, but I don't have anything in front of me at this point to be able to talk about it with certainty. So maybe in January next month, we can bring forth a few of the laws that we're going to be seeing.
Fair enough. Is there anything that's going to be new in a week?
In May is going to be our next uniformed officer transfer, and we're hoping to get one additional officer to add to our officer population, if you will, here in Humboldt. We were hoping to see that additional person this past transfer, but it got cut from the list because some things at the academy that caused us to not get what we thought was going to be a cadet. And so So we're hoping to see a new officer.
Not a frat party.
Not a frat party.
Okay.
So we're hoping to see an additional body come to be a part of our squad in May. With that, we're hoping to open up what's called a cops position, community-oriented policing position. This isn't 100%, but this is something that we, I guess you could say, we have on our wish list. And what that position would do is work with problem areas, schools, you know, traffic concerns. Just like the title says, it's community-oriented policing.
You gonna bring Dalen back and let him do the car seats?
I think he's liking Reading over there, so we'll see, though.
But kind of a community outreach?
Yeah, absolutely. It's community outreach. It'll be kind of a mixture of enforcement and working with long-term issues. And say a portion of the community has a concern about a certain roadway, or hey, how are we going to solve this? That officer would be involved in that.
Public meetings, hearings, that kind of
stuff. A lot of that, yeah.
So almost a PR position.
Yeah, it would probably overlap some.
With a gun.
Yeah, with a gun. Yeah, it would overlap some. You probably wouldn't see that person so much in the camera and on the radio, but it'd be more just being a public contact, being a liaison between, say, the enforcement side and the community. So we're
more of a business suit than a badge.
It would be a badge. It'd be a full uniform and a patrol car and things. So we're hoping to see that. And then one thing we will be seeing come in the beginning of January is we have two grants specific to Highway 36 and 96 that is going to give us financial resources to be able to provide additional units on those specific roadways, just to be enforcement and also be a presence.
So does that get you new cars also, or
no,
just the body behind the steering wheel?
No new cars. It'll just allow officers to be able to get out there and put additional units beyond the beat units. I've talked about this in the past, but we have issues, you know, out on being the ruralness of 96 and 36, and the ability to get officers off the beat out there can be difficult. And so this will allow that ability to get in those rural areas, you know, out in the mile marker 40s on 36, where people don't see us a whole lot because it takes us off, you know, the main traveled portion.
40 miles to get there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
you do have existing rolling stock where these guys and gals can be out there.
Yes.
And now you just have got more people to be able to use those.
Exactly. Vehicles. And we have a lot of discretion will be, you know, maximum travel periods we'll probably be implementing. It may not be every single day, but we'll select different days of the week and different times of the year that we can be most efficient with that resource.
Cool. That in combination with what Z is doing for the Sheriff's Department.
Yes.
Sounds like good stuff for the folks out in
I
that
think
part
so.
Of the county.
Hopefully the Humboldt County notices it and sees, you know, it's like in one side you don't want to see additional cops out there, but and the other sense,
it gives me somebody else to smile at.
There you go. But hopefully the county sees it and sees the additional resources. And again, the ultimate goal is keeping people safe.
Thanks for coming by.
You bet. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you.
We've been talking shop with Matt Harvey. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.